Got a great show lined out for you this week. Molly Galbraith is back from Girls Gone Strong. I just want to take a second to say thank you to anyone that is supporting the show currently or has in the past via patreon.com/theFitCast, or if you've made a one-time or monthly donation via PayPal. That support is crucial to the continuation of this show, and it means so much because it's a vote of confidence. It means that you really value the content of this show. So if you haven't in the past and you're in the position to do so, I would really appreciate it if you could head over to patreon.com/theFitCast, support the show on a per episode basis, or if you make a one-time or a monthly donation via PayPal. Currently, the show has no sponsors, so it is even more so dependent on your support. Thank you so much. Let's get to the show. Hello and welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and it actually feels like quite a long time since we chatted, even though we were just out in beautiful Long Beach. I'm now wearing a hoodie. I got like a warm hat on, and winter is coming, but it's going to warm up because I got Molly Galbraith on the show this week. Molly, how are you?
I'm great, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. And I was just thinking back before we jumped on, that was August, the beginning of August or something like that. And now we're all the way into October. So I guess it was 2 months, but it feels like a long time ago, at least for me. But that was a great time to perform at our summit out there.
It was so awesome. So I am super like embarrassed to say that that was my first perform better. And it did.
What'd
not
you think?
I loved it. It was such a good time. Such great people, such great presenters. I got to see all of those people that you would assume that I had already seen, but had never actually seen. I mean, I had never seen Martin Rooney. I'd never seen Alan Cosgrove. Like
right.
It was fantastic. So I got to see, I got to meet Stu McGill. You know, it was just awesome. Spend some time with Dan John. And so anyway, it was just a really good time. Really great people. I got to meet Kevin Larrabee. Like seriously, I feel like I already know you because like I hear your voice in my head and I'm like, I know that guy. Got to meet Max Schenck. That was super fun.
That's right.
We all went to dinner. you probably haven't told your audience about your impromptu. Okay. You don't want me to talk about it? I think I should.
Yeah, we can open that up. I'm sure as long as the video evidence does not reach the internet, Max, I will. I don't know. The dude could destroy me. He could kick my butt, but I don't know what I would do. I'd just be very sad. Please don't release that video.
So we got an impromptu, just Kevin singing ABC by the Jackson 5, which was the most amazing part about it was how seriously.
Alcohol free.
No, it was alcohol free. It was how seriously you took it. That was the best part. So you said you knew every word to the song and we're like, you know, we're all sitting at dinner. We're like, prove it. And you're like, give me $20 and I will. So of course.
Yeah, I totally did get $20. That was awesome.
We busted out $20. And then you were very serious about like, let's go somewhere where like no one can hear us. Mm-hmm. You know, or there's no, you know, there's not a lot of noise. And like you performed. It was a performance of ABC by the Jackson 5. And it was a heck of a performance.
And it shows the actual Bondness, the James Bondness of Max Schenck, where he put everyone put your phones away. I don't want to see any pictures being taken, no video. But Max started recording on his phone and put the phone in his pocket, so the camera is just peeking out.
Right, that's
of the pocket. So
he's like, "I'm going to turn my phone off." When really he was turning
exactly.
the camera on, which was hysterical, though. So it was an incredible performance. I felt like we bonded that night, got to know you a lot better. It was awesome, and you got $20. So
yeah, I to be honest, I probably would have done it for free because of how much I love that song. And those are good times. And those events are, again, this is why I always tell people on the show and tell the audience, like, you, if the Perform Better Summit is within, you know, 500, 1,000 miles of you, you owe it to yourself to go out to those things because, yeah, you're going to get great education. You're going to get the opportunity to do a lot of hands-on stuff and maybe get some coaching that you wouldn't otherwise get and try out some new tools that you can use. but it's really about the social on Friday night. And it's about being able to, you know, go out to dinner. Like that, we had that huge group go out to dinner that night, and the night before I was out with a bunch of people that were coming in internationally that I knew from Japan, and getting to see everyone and your access to all these people that you might otherwise think are, and this is the thing, like with, you know, Molly, like you go to those things and you get, you know, crowds around you because everyone has read your stuff. They've heard you on shows, they've watched videos of you, and they want to, you know, say hi. You are very much a celebrity at those events. And then they realize, oh, it's like 2 minutes into a conversation, it's like, oh, it's Molly. It's just, we're normal people. We're having a conversation now. It's great.
Well, you're very sweet. It was a good time to, like I said, meet all of those people, learn, and just, yeah, get to see what Perform Better is all about. I've heard about it for so long, and always wanted to go. It was just a function of, you know, having my own brick and mortar gym for a while that kind of, you know, kept me tied to Kentucky and less able to travel. And then, you know, spending the last couple of years just like head down, nose to the grindstone, building Girls Gone Strong. And then, you know, putting on, just having to do a lot of, I put on, you know, my own seminars for a while with Train Like a Girl. And so, so it has not been a function of not wanting to attend. So it's more just been a scheduling thing. So I like that I finally got out to do it, and will definitely be at more in the future.
Well, that's actually what I wanted to start off with is talk about, you know, the events that you guys are doing, because I believe it was a couple weekends after that one, you guys had another sold out event that took place. How did that go?
Yeah. So the Women's Fitness Summit is a fantastic event. It's not technically a Girls Gone Strong event. It's an event that we sponsor. So
that's
Nick,
right,
Nick Bromberg, who puts on the Fitness Summit, and Dr. Cassandra Forsyth, who is an advisory board member and just all around badass, is so they got together to put on the Women's Fitness Summit. And then Girls Gone Strong came in a couple years ago and decided to sponsor it because it was an event by women for women. And we knew, obviously not, Nick is not a woman, but you know what I mean. It was all female speakers, all female attendees. And so for the last couple of years, we've sponsored it. And yeah, we were able to sell that puppy out in 26 hours with one email, which was really cool. It just shows the desire that women have to be in that kind of environment and to hear from, you know, female speakers. I mean, Cassandra has been on the speaking circuit forever. And she's like, you know what? I'm like almost always one of the only women at these events, which is just crazy because there are so many qualified health and fitness professionals. And, you know, I struggle to say female health and fitness professionals because I talk about when Girls Gone Strong, I'm like, we have the best female health and fitness professionals in the world. But let's be honest, they are the best health and fitness professionals in the world, and they happen to be female, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't need to qualify and say they're the best of the women. They're just the best, period, and they happen to be women. So I think I saw on Facebook today, you're going to have a ton of women upcoming on the show in the next several episodes, so that's awesome. But anyway, yeah, so we decided to sponsor that event, and it went fantastic. There was, I think, maybe about 165 people there all together.
And nuts.
It was killer. That includes, you know, speakers and helpers and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was awesome. I mean, so many GGS advisory board members, plus like Krista Scott Dixon and Ingrid Markham and Susan Kleiner, and just, you know, the best of the best. And it was such a good mix of, you know, science and coaching and feelings. And so, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I was very lucky to, you know, not only be able to finally meet you this summer, but just a couple weeks ago, I got to go up to Toronto and get some dinner with Krista Scott Dixon. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just for real. It's just amazing what you guys are doing in terms of just really changing the game when it comes to communicating with women. And even like I mentioned this at the summit, but there's so many, you know, male coaches out there that either have predominantly female athletes or clients, and just helping them do a better job with communicating with them and understanding what they're looking for out of out of training and out of the discussions that go on. But that's kind of where I want to start with our discussion today, because when you get the opportunity to, you know, talk to almost 200 women in a weekend and interact with them, I was curious if you had any, if there are any topics or any things that came up more often than others, like some desires for things that they wanted covered in terms of, you know, articles or videos. What, like, just trying to get like the temperature of what women are looking for out of, you know, fitness content right now. Were you able to get a general sense of that? Was there a lot of discussion on that?
Definitely. And one thing that I do want to mention before I forget is that, all 3 years of the Women's Fitness Summit, Girls Gone Strong filmed all of those presentations. And we are actually going to be offering the first 2 years of those presentations available for sale.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, I think it was you that asked me about
it. I was bugging the crap out of you. Yeah.
So those will be available for sale in a couple weeks. I don't know when this episode will go up, but I think we're looking at doing it around the 25th of October. So
fantastic.
So that's going to be so awesome. 22 like hours of video, hands-on stuff, presentations, like, you know, everyone's like, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Now you can be a fly on the wall. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we covered so many different topics, from, you know, hormones to handstands to, you know, kind of the female fitness formula to supplements to, you know, how the women were treated and the coverage of the female athletes in the Olympics. I mean, Sue Kleiner just absolutely knocked it out of the park talking about how she's seen the industry change over the last 30 to 40 years. And, you know, we have a community of powerful, forward thinking, progressive women who are wanting to see increases in, you know, like better representation, even with Girls Gone Strong. You know, that's something that we're working on, you know, representing more, you know, more different cultures in our articles, you know, bringing on more advisory board members. We've got, yeah, just all kinds of stuff in the works. But I mean, what they're looking for is to see more people that look like them, you know, mm-hmm. whether that's shape, size, age, race, you know, gender identity, sexual orientation, whatever mm-hmm. it is, they're wanting to see more diversity in fitness, because for a long time it has been, you know, very white and very, you know, male oriented and very, yeah. even when it is female, it's like, you know, the super shredded, like fit chick, which is awesome, but that doesn't represent everyone. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kinds of things that they're talking about. They're talking about, you know, wanting to, you know, change their bodies from a really positive place, you know, wanting to get fit and strong because it makes them feel powerful, versus wanting to shrink and disappear and, you know, get skinny for the, you know, for the sake of, you know, fitting a particular mold. So yeah, it's just like this really awesome kick-ass group of women. They're talking about wanting to change their bodies and their performance and their health from a place of self-care and not of fixing themselves because they think that they're broken. So all just super cool, powerful woman stuff.
And that's you brought up representation. That's something even I know I need to do a better job of on the show. It's not why I have the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks having female guests on the show. It just happens that I was able to get four, you know, incredible mm-hmm. episodes put together with people that I wanted to talk to. Mm-hmm. That's how scheduling works sometimes. But yeah, I think maybe we'll get back into that in a little bit. It's interesting with you bringing up representation with, and this is not to get into, it's more of a news discussion, not really a political discussion, but it's been fascinating to kind of see the discussions that have gone on, you know, with our you know, politicians making comments about, you know, the looks of women out there and how potentially, you know, some size or trying to brush it off as not a big deal. I was just curious if you guys in these events at these seminars, do you go into talking at all about, you know, just the general, the terms and the discourse of how women are still treated drastically different than men in terms of, you know, how they should look or how, you know, they, you know, the words that are used to describe women instead of like, you know, how a man would look, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. We covered that, like I said, Dr. Sue Kleiner covered that. She did kind of like a short kind of keynote talk about, again, the women's coverage in the Olympics and, you know, how the female athletes were treated and how they were spoken about and, you know, how their accomplishments were spoken about or not spoken about, you know, how their bodies were often or their makeup or whatever was the topic of discussion, you know, in terms of instead of their accomplishments and their achievements, like it was with some of the male athletes. So that was covered. You know, Erin Brown always does a killer job. She at 2015 Women's Fitness Summit, she got a standing ovation. And Krista Scott Dixon called it one of the best feminist performances she's ever seen in her entire life. But Erin does such a good job. And I think this is really important of the personal responsibility aspect of it. You know, we can talk about Photoshop. We can talk about the media. We can talk about our politicians. We can talk about what everyone else is doing, but what are we doing?
Exactly.
How are we speaking to ourselves? What's our inner talk and, you know, dialogue? How are we talking to our children or, you know, talking about things with our children? Or what do our children observe our behaviors to be? You know, Erin gave a lot of like really incredible statistics. I was just rewatching her video because since these are going to go on sale soon, and she said, you know, 54% of women would rather be hit by a truck than be fat. Like, that's insane. And she says, she's like, that's not Photoshop. That starts with me. Like, right. I'm going to take responsibility for that. How am I speaking about my body in front of my daughter? You know, what do I demonstrate? You know, what kind of like example am I setting, right? Am I constantly saying, oh, mommy can't eat that because, you know, and of course, Erin doesn't speak like this, but you know, there was a time in her life when she would have. The turning point for her was when she found out she was pregnant with a little girl, but you know, mommy can't eat that. She's on a diet. You know, oh, these jeans don't fit. I've got to do this. Like people don't even realize, their behaviors and how they're affecting their children. Someone close to me, I won't reveal whom, but a family friend and of mine told me that her 2-year-old recently went and tapped her foot on the scale to weigh herself because her mom does that every morning. And so she sees her mom do that every morning. And, you know, she doesn't know really what it is right now, but that's something that's going to be ingrained in her, you know, probably for her entire life if her mom keeps it up. And so, yeah, there's so much going on in our world right now, with other people, right? But again, we, unfortunately, there are things that we can do, I think, to create global massive change that has to happen, but it has to start at home with us. So instead of, you know, pointing fingers at other people, I'm really interested in people turning inward and saying, you know, where am I with these things? How can I change my behavior? How can I be more conscious of the language that I use? And, you know, how do I speak up when people around me are saying things that aren't appropriate or, you know, are talking about women in a way that makes me uncomfortable? You know, just really not being afraid to pipe up and say, hey, that's not okay. You know, you can't say things like that. I mean, imagine if, well, again, we won't get too political, but imagine if in hearing a conversation that was totally inappropriate, the person listening had said, like, are you serious, man? Like, that's not cool at all, right?
Right, yeah.
Instead of chuckling along. So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
All of those things.
Yeah. okay, there. I want to follow up on a couple of those things because I don't think this is – I don't think I've ever really had a discussion about this on the show, but And there's two questions that I have with this, and I'll ask the first one. I don't know which one to ask first, but I'll ask this part first. So when it comes to, I guess it would be like changing the negative self-talk, what is there any kind of like general advice? Because we are always going to be the most critical critic of ourselves. We're the ones that are going to, you know, get out of the shower and look at the mirror and see like, oh, that's something, like something looks a little bit different today or something doesn't look right. This is something I'm going to criticize myself about. Are there any strategies to that you recommend or that you, you know, inform people about to change that course so we are keeping it positive and not just looking at, Oh man, like dude, I have like lines at my eyes now. Like I'm 30. Like I'm like, oh man, where are those coming from? I'm getting a little bit older.
Oh gosh. Well, there's so much kind of packed in there. And so there's a couple things I want to say.
Yes.
You know, first and foremost, when it comes to like feeling good about yourself, feeling good about your body, loving yourself, all of these things, it doesn't mean that those thoughts ever go away or that you don't notice, like you don't know, like, oh, I love myself so much, I don't even notice the lines around my eyes. Mm. Like, no, that's, I think that's kind of crap.
Right.
For most people, right? Maybe there's a couple like super enlightened people who like don't notice, but it is not allowing it to mean anything about you or so like Nagar Fanouni, GGS advisory board member, co-founder, amazing woman. She said one day, she was like, I look horrible. I've got to do something about this face. And I was like, Neg, like, why would you say that about yourself? She's like, oh, because it doesn't mean anything about me. I'm not attached to that statement. It's just what is happening right now, you know, she's talked also about like noticing new stretch marks or new, you know, dimples of cellulite or whatever. It's not that she doesn't notice them. It's just that it doesn't mean anything about who she is. And so getting to that place, I'm not pretending like that's easy, but to be clear, it's not loving yourself so that you become complacent, think that you never need to work out again or eat well or take care of yourself or, you know, those kinds of arguments that people against the body positive movement make. But it's about taking care of yourself because you believe that you're worth it, which I think is really powerful, versus taking care of yourself because you think you need to be fixed. But we have a resource on Girls Gone Strong that was written with Erin Brown called Showing All the Way Up, A Guide to Confidence with Erin Brown. And she gives people really simple, actionable steps that they can take to start feeling better. I, for one, am a huge, huge proponent of therapy. The handbook, the guide that Erin wrote with GGS is fantastic, but I feel like there's no substitute for, you know, working with a professional who understands how to help people. I've been in therapy for 7 years, and think that it's an absolutely critical, it has been critical to my journey of getting to a place where I loved myself, believed that I was worthy of self-care, and just felt really good in my skin. But awareness, I think, is also really important. That's something that people can start today for free. Like, that's not a big step, you know, like not a big barrier to starting to become more aware of how you're speaking to yourself. But I think that's always, always key, is starting with, you know, how are you speaking to yourself, you know, in your brain? What's your inner dialogue look like? How are you speaking, about yourself to other people? And then how are you speaking about other people to other people, right? Like what kind of words are you using? What's your, you know, what's your gossip meter look like? Are you constantly finding yourself feeling, less than when you see someone who feels really good and confident? Like, you know, when that bikini picture of mine went viral and everyone was like, you know, freaking out about it, and some people were just being really nasty, Erin was like, it's almost as if they feel like you're wearing a bikini at them, like, instead of just wearing a bikini. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when you feel that, when you notice yourself feeling that defensive or upset about somebody else, like, that's about you. So I think the awareness piece is really important. I also think trying to move from I hate myself to I love myself overnight is not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So Erin gives some really good advice about like just neutral. Just like, can you take that statement and make it neutral? You know, like, my legs look so fat. Instead of being like, my legs look so fabulous, could it just be like, this is what my legs look like today? You know, just neutralize it, and then kind of start moving towards like, okay, what's one thing about the way that I look, or, you know, the way that I perform, or the type of person I am that's really positive? Okay, well, I'm a really good listener. Okay, well, my hair looks really nice today. Like, so it's starting with the awareness piece. It's like anything else that we do in fitness or nutrition. It's a slow progression over time, going from negative to neutral to slowly building on something positive, and just really being willing to put in the work and the practice and the repetition, just like you do with anything else.
Yeah. And you mentioned Erin again, and that's funny. That's a name that's on my, I have like 14 names on my whiteboard right now of people that I need to get in touch and get on the show, either for the first time or get them back on the show. And she's second on that list, not because they're in
orders
of priority, but, you know, she's definitely up there. Her stuff has been incredible, the stuff that I've been reading of hers. So that's going to happen soon. So maybe, yeah, maybe I'll do 5 straight weeks because, you know, women are just kicking ass right now. As they always have.
I was going to say, women have always been kicking ass. It's just people are finally taking note, maybe, or recognizing.
Well, this is like my follow up to that is, so when we have, women are 51% of our population, at least here in the States, and I think on the planet. But when we do have male coaches, you know, fitness coaches and trainers that are trying to help with clients, female clients, or even male clients that tend to have that negative self-talk, are there things that they how can they help? Just so how can they better connect with their female clients and not just sound like they're giving, you know, advice that they, you know, have kind of almost no idea what they're talking about in a sense.
Right. Well, a couple things there. Number one, this is a surprise announcement, but you're basically asking me to give my Perform Better talk from next year on your
Hell
show
yeah.
right now. Yeah. So
kick ass.
I know. I'm super excited. I got the email from Chris last week that I'm going to be one of the speakers, and I don't know which one or how many or, you know, what, but I'm sure, you know, I'll start off in like a tiny little corner of one room at one event, you know, it, like, you know, test me out, see how it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm so there.
I'm going to, yeah, that's literally exactly what I'm talking about next year at Perform Better, because I think it's so important for men and women to, but especially men who've never lived in a female body, right?
They haven't exactly.
You haven't had these experiences. You know, my boyfriend is constantly like, man, I had no idea that women felt this way about themselves. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that women had these experiences. And even now, you know, Jen Sinclair wrote an article for GGS called Girls Gone Wrong. And it was all about when it is and isn't appropriate to call a woman a girl. Mm-hmm. You know, and is Girls Gone Strong okay, right? Like, it's like, we're a bunch of women. And it's called Girls Gone Strong. And so it's a really interesting article that I'll have to let you read so that you can, you know, figure out for yourself if it's okay. But he's always like, I don't know. I'm afraid to say girl now. And I'm afraid to say, you know, like, I don't know what to call somebody. And, you know, he just never knew that all of these kind of things that he was doing or participating in, could be offensive to women or harmful or, you know, he just never had any clue that women were dealing with the things that they were dealing with. And so, you know, first and foremost, the most important thing that you can do is ask, and just really ask women how they're feeling, ask them for their input, ask them, you know, if like, ask them what they want to be called. I think, again, that was something that happened in the Olympics. The women's rugby coach was like, come on, girls. And people kind of got, you know, in an uproar about it. But apparently he had asked them at the start of the season what they wanted to be called. And they said that being called girls was fine. So, I think all that stuff's really important, but listening is really important. I think we do that in a lot of areas as coaches and trainers, hopefully, in terms of listening to if our clients are having pain, listening to how they're feeling in terms of like their recovery or their exhaustion level, but listening to, especially women, their concerns about their bodies. Several years ago, a guy who's a prominent strength coach and friend of mine was like, God, doesn't it just make you want to like stab yourself in the eye with a fork when a woman says like lifting weights is going to make her get bulky? And I was like, you know, I get it, but like they said, tell me why it makes you want to stab yourself in the eye with a fork. And I was like, well, first of all, I would never say that to a female client because she just came to me with a concern. She was vulnerable and transparent about how she was feeling, and me rolling my eyes and telling her that that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard is not going to go very far in terms of building connection and relationship. So
exactly.
Validating how they're feeling and saying, you know what, that is a super common concern. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about why you feel this way and getting some more intel, you know, like maybe she played high school sports and started lifting for whatever sport she played and her diet didn't change and her diet wasn't great. And she like started busting out of her clothes. So in her mind, like lifting means that she got bigger and bulkier. when it wasn't the lifting at all, but it was, you know, the combination of increasing muscle mass and not decreasing body fat, or maybe even increasing body fat. The other thing is giving them the space to decide what they want for their bodies. So if a woman's like, I'm afraid I'm going to get bulky, and you tell her, no, you're not, but the body type that she ends up with from lifting feels bulky to her, even if she only added a couple pounds of lean mass, right? If she feels uncomfortable in her skin, then she feels uncomfortable in her skin. And that's not really for you to decide. So I think asking questions, I think listening really intently, I think validating the way that they're feeling. And then I think doing things that can help them understand that, what they see in the media, or maybe what they saw modeled at home with their parents, or what they see their, you know, with their friends, like there's not one specific, way to look that is the best way, right? That's what the media wants us to believe. We're like boxed into this, kind of cookie cutter look that like you have to look like this, or you're not good enough, pretty enough, worthy enough, whatever. But I think one thing that's really powerful, and a lot of women says powerful for them in the GGS community, is again, going back to this representation, seeing strong, powerful women of all shapes, sizes, ages, ability levels, races, doing amazing things. And I think that the more that we can display what we call, thanks to Krista Scott Dixon for this amazing phrase, a democracy of bodies, the more that we can help women start to like realize that they're strong, they're beautiful, they're powerful, they're good enough as they are. I think all of those things are really important. And I think that there are, you know, tangible things that male strength coaches can do, like doing some kind of challenge with their clients or their athletes. Okay, so like, you know, this week we're going to, you know, you're going to write this, write a mantra on a sticky note and put it on your mirror, and, you know, repeat that to yourself every morning. And then you're going to come back, and you're, along with your sleep and your nutrition that you're reporting to me for the week, you're also going to report back, did you do this? It's going to be, you know, speaking up if they hear their female clients or athletes saying something negative about another woman and saying like, hey, like, you know, like what's that about? Like, why are we, you know, why are we talking like this? This isn't, you know, this isn't the way that women who lift each other up speak. And just really implementing positive behaviors and actions for their female clients and athletes to start using in their everyday life, and, you know, coaching them or checking up on them the same way that they would with the other behaviors they want their athletes and their clients to do.
Well, one of the, and this is outstanding, because like one of the, we were talking, maybe it was before we started recording, I'm like, yeah, there's like 10 years of episodes on this show, if you want to go back and listen to them, where like the trend was maybe 8 years ago, the industry is sometimes, and the advice is sometimes about hard swings. Like we were saying,
right.
You just got to lift like a man. Women need to lift like a man, and then they're going to be fine. All right. Obviously the goal of that was saying, all right, you should strength train. you should not just do like, you know, group X, if that's not getting you to your goals, like, yeah, maybe some structured strength training would be a better option. So we had those hard swings, but now it's great. And what you guys have put together with Girls Gone Strong, it's been like, no, like it's not hard swings. It's like, yeah, here are the things that you're going to need. Here are the tools and the information that you're going to need to help you get to wherever you want to go, no matter where that is. And I think that's what we need to be cognizant of as coaches, is it's not just about, and I apologize, I'm rambling for a second, but you know, at the beginning when I was a coach, it was about just getting people kind of like the same goals that I had. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Because that's all you know until your experience broadens, right?
And right.
No, I totally hear you. And I kind of did some rambling as well. But to be clear, I think that coaches need to, you know, ask their clients and their athletes how they're feeling. They need to listen to what they're saying. The coaches need to watch how they speak about women and about their female clients and athletes. And again, kind of pay attention to how are their clients and athletes speaking about themselves and other women, and just really, you know, help them increase their awareness of kind of what that inner dialogue is like. They can give their clients mantras, like I said, to, you know, put on their mirror. They can, I had a thing in one of my coaching groups where if one of my clients said something negative about themselves, they had to say 10 nice things about themselves, and mm-hmm. five of them had to be like specifically about their appearance, because that's what they would shy away from. They'd be like, well, I'm nice and I'm a good mom, you know? And I'd be like, no, tell me five amazing things about your body. Right. And they'd be mm-hmm. like, I have pretty fingernails, you know? So, you know, paying attention to, you know, how they're speaking and how their clients are speaking, giving them mantras, like I said, post on their mirror or on their wall, have them repeat themselves to over and over again, giving them action steps, giving them things to do to take care of themselves, to help remind them that they're worthy of self-care, paying attention to how they coach and like how they cue and like what they say, like if they're, you know, if their client walks in or whatever, like, you look great is a nice thing to say, but like, we can also start saying things like, you look powerful, you look strong, you look happy, you look, you know, healthy, whatever. And then I love the idea of like maybe decorating your gym or your area with, you know, pictures of like really powerful women who, like, female athletes who have accomplished really cool things, you know? So just again, increasing the representation of the female kind of role models that they have to look at. So all of those things are ways that male clients and trainers can connect with their female athletes and clients, and then help them start to improve the way that they see themselves. And then, of course, send them to Girls Gone Strong to see more positivity and female empowerment and body image type stuff.
Yeah, that's like almost my default answer. No, for real. Yeah. And also, like, one of the things that I want to mention is we're, like, at Michael Ball Strength and Conditioning, we're somewhat spoiled. Like, we have the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team that trains there, and yeah. They're badass. They're incredibly strong, and, you know, they're beautiful. I mean, you know, multiples of them have been featured in, you know, the what is it, like, the body issue or whatever it is of, like, ESPN. Oh, yeah. So, like, we can show people, like, all right, like, even if – it doesn't matter where you, like, what you necessarily want to look like, but, you know, like, if this is what you want to look like, look at, they are the strongest people pound for pound in our gym. Mm-hmm. And they're incredibly feminine. They are just ridiculously strong, and they set an incredible example for all of our, I just, the only thing I probably wish is, like, they train in the morning. I wish they trained in the afternoon. So the, you know, the middle school girls and the high school girls that we have come in,
right,
could see them almost every single day, and, mm-hmm. and you know, just as role models, and they get to see them in the summer at least. So hopefully they show up for the morning groups in the summer. But okay, so yeah, man, I'm my brain's kind of spinning with some of this stuff. So I guess the other thing that I wrote down as you're kind of going through that was, as, and I'm being very selfish in this conversation, I apologize, because this, you know, I'm a guy, so this is why, and I'm sure, you know, many of our listeners are male as well, but in terms of the questions that we ask to, and this might even be for female coaches working with females or male coaches working with females, for sure. But, as male coaches, I think one of the things that male coaches struggle with the most is what are the right questions to ask, to get the information that could be applicable to how we're going to train today, or to actually get to, you know, the real deep goals that they're trying to shoot for. So I was wondering if you had any feedback on that, on like the questions that male trainers should potentially ask to their female clients or their female athletes and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that one it's a little tricky, because obviously, right, Everybody's going to be different. But even more important than what they ask is how they ask, and exactly, the type of relationship that they have with their client or athlete to begin with, because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what you ask your client if they don't feel like they can trust you, mm-hmm. and they don't feel like they can open up to you, and they don't feel like that you're going to be receptive to whatever their concerns are. So I think that first and foremost is you know, is the thing that you have to be thinking about. So developing rapport with them, making sure that they always know that they can come to you, making sure that they know that their needs and concerns will be listened, regardless of what it is. Like it, in the beginning, it's probably going to be like, well, this hurts my knee, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're like, well, keep going, you know, go hard or go home, no pain, no gain, right? Then they're going to like, oh, this person doesn't really care, right? Mm-hmm. So from the very beginning, it's going to be developing the type of relationship where they feel like they can trust you. I remember hearing somebody ask John Berardi, they were like, what do you do when your clients lie to you about your food journal and or about their food journal? And John's like, why do you have a relationship with your client where they feel like they need to lie to you about their food journal? Hmm. You know? And so, so I think that's really important. So once that relationship is there, I think it would be, you know, a bit easier for the person to open up with you, depending on the format in which you're training someone. Like if you're doing one-on-one type stuff, you know, maybe spending 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning of every session while they're like, you know, foam rolling or breathing or whatever they're doing, just chit-chatting with them, asking them about their day. If it's you work with like a, you know, a bunch of athletes, maybe, you know, having kind of a schedule where you're, you know, you're pulling one of them to the side, like, you know, each session so that each of them get to talk with you privately every couple of weeks, but just asking how they're doing, how they're feeling, how they're liking their program, you know, if they have any questions or concerns about what they're doing. I think that if you build the rapport with them, then they will open up when they have concerns. But I think asking them, do you have any questions about your training program? Do you have any concerns about how things are going? How are you liking your results? Are you feeling, you know, do you have more energy, you know, on the field? Are you recovering pretty well? I think that if you build that relationship with them, just asking how they're doing, how they're feeling, how their training's going, and if they have any questions or concerns, will kind of pull that stuff out of them if they're feeling that way. And then if they, a really good indicator is if, they're not wanting to add weight to the bar as well. That's a really strong indicator for a lot of coaches. If the client is not opening up about how they're feeling, but you're noticing that they're not wanting to add weight to the bar, they're not wanting to push themselves in their training session. I've talked to a lot of male coaches who said that ended up being the thing, was that they were afraid that they were going to get bulky or they didn't want their body to change. And so they were kind of altering how the intensity of their workouts. And it took some kind of pulling out of them that was why.
Awesome. Fantastic. And I'm going to jump into, I promise we're going to do Facebook questions. I apologize. Uh-huh. I know I asked for them and I've been monopolizing the time. So, we will get to some of the questions from Facebook. Now, starting with KDG, working with female clients, balancing the way you support your clients when they do not adhere to their program, nutrition, workout goals. She says, I know it is hard. While being upfront and firm to an extent, pushing them to stay on track. Would also love to know how her life has changed since going from all in person coaching to an online business owner.
Yeah. So a ton of stuff there. Yeah. So first she said she wants to know how to deal with clients when they're, I guess, not being compliant with their program. Was that the first question?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So
that's what I took from it.
Yeah. So it depends on, of course, whether that's training, whether that's nutrition. But if someone's not being compliant, then first and foremost, it's your job as a coach to figure out why. So instead of disciplining them for not being compliant or making them feel badly about it, you know, like, why aren't they following it? Is it because their schedule's really busy? Is it because it's too difficult for them? You know, I love this idea again from John Berardi and the PN crew when it comes to helping someone change their nutrition habits. So a foundational habit that they use and that we use in our Strongest You coaching is getting clients to eat more slowly. And so the idea is for us is that we want them to take 20 minutes to eat a meal and like 10 minutes to eat a snack, right? And this is good for so many reasons, but for the sake of time, I'll just keep rolling. When we want someone to change that habit of theirs, we can ask them at the beginning, like, on a scale of 0 to 10, how likely is it that you can take 20 minutes to eat every meal and 10 minutes to eat every snack? Hmm. And if the person says anything below an 8, like if they are an 8 or less on that confidence scale, then they have like a 95% chance of not doing it, of failing. So, if they say, well, I'm a 7, okay, then on a scale of 0 to 10, how confident are you that you can take at least, you know, 14 minutes to eat a meal and 7 minutes to eat a snack? And they're like, oh, I'm a 9 on that. Okay, perfect. That's your goal right now then, right? So you figure out what your client feels confident and capable of in terms of what they can change in their life, and then set them up for success by making sure that it's something that they feel like they can achieve. And sometimes it's, I was talking to Josh Hillis, another super awesome coach, who was talking about with clients, like for the first week, like if in this moment they're eating like a bag of Oreos every day, then their goal the first week is to eat a bag of Oreos every day. And it's like, wait a second, what? Mm-hmm. And it's like, meet them where they are. And then the right. next week, their goal is to eat a bag of Oreos minus one. You know what I mean? Like how can you help your client get from where they are to where they want to be? Because mm-hmm. for most people, if it was going to happen quickly, they would have done it already. And we know that the way to get from A to Z is a really small, like, amount of work or change or whatever done consistently over time. So if you have a new client who comes in and they're like, I've never worked out before, but I want to sign up to work with you 3 days a week. And, you know, I want to change my diet. And can you write me a meal plan? And like, geez, you have literally just turned, if you agree to that with them, you have just turned their entire world upside down. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that they're going to be able to sustain. So I think first things first, you need to make sure that your program or plan is something that they feel confident that they can sustain or stay consistent with most of the time. If it's someone that you're working with and they're having some like short-term slip-ups or, you know, difficulties with staying consistent, then you need to figure out what's going on in their life. Like maybe they are taking care of a sick parent. Maybe their, you know, child is struggling in school and they're having to, you know, pay more attention to that. Maybe they're not feeling well. They're having some health concerns. But figure out if their issue with consistency is the program or plan that you have set up for them, or if they have something temporarily going on in their life. And if they have something temporarily going on in their life that's keeping them from being able to follow your plan, then help them find an easier one that they can follow. The last thing that your client needs to do is to feel like a failure on a regular basis, right? So it's like, okay, hey, look, these next 4 weeks are going to be crazy busy for you. Let's back your training down to once a week. I want you to take a walk whenever you can, even if it's for 5 minutes. And the only thing you need to worry about in terms of your nutrition is, you know, eating protein with every meal or snack or something like that. So mm-hmm. figure out how to give your clients the tools to feel like a success, even if they are in a period of time in their life when things aren't going quite the way that they would like them to go. In fact, Jen Comas just wrote an article like this for Girls Gone Strong called Why Your Weight Fluctuates and Why It's No Big Deal. And she talks about the last couple of years of her life that have been really stressful. I mean, she went through like, you know, an amicable divorce and she moved and she did all of these things. And she's like, you know, at this point in time, I was able to work out more. At this point in time, I wasn't eating because I was stressed. At this point in time, this was happening. So, you know, life ebbs and flows for everyone. And it's kind of like something I said a couple years ago at the Women's Fitness Summit, like, I don't care if you go to the gym today, and I don't care if you go to the gym tomorrow. I care that you're in the gym 20 years from now. And so that for me is about how can we help our clients, like I said, figure out a plan that's going to work for them at whatever stage of their life that they're in. And then if it's someone who is simply just not prioritizing their health, they're saying like, oh, you know, this is what I want to do, but they're, you know, you've made things as easy as you can possibly make them, and they're still struggling to comply. I think it would be having a conversation with them about like, what are your goals? Is this something that you really want for yourself? You know, for some people, they think that they want to make changes, but they're really not ready to, and that's okay as well. But letting that person know that they can always be honest with you about what's going on in their life. They can always be honest about, you know, what their compliance is like with their nutrition or their training or their sleep or whatever, and letting them know that like, hey, if this isn't a priority for you in your life right now, like that's okay. I'll be here when it is. So again, it's I think compliance is usually less of a client issue and more of a coach issue.
Love it. Awesome. Awesome stuff. I have a somewhat of a phenomenon that I don't know if it is a common thing or whatever, but like nutrition is something that I will trip up on from time to time, but you bet your ass, I'm going to find a way to train like almost every single day of the week. Like I'm going to lift something almost every day of the week. I might have a flight at 6:30 tomorrow morning and I will get up at 3:30 and I will lift before I go to the airport.
That's like, crazy.
It is crazy, but I don't know. Maybe it's just because lifting is so much damn fun.
Maybe so. Oh, she also asked how life has changed.
Yes.
So obviously I'm not in a gym all day, every day anymore, which is, you know, everybody thinks that if you're a trainer or a coach, like, oh, you just get to work out all day. And I think those of us who have been trainers and coaches know that like, that's not true, that it's actually at the end of the day, you're like, ah, I've like counted so many sets and reps and done so much coaching, like I don't even feel like doing it myself. For me, I would always like go to train, but the gym would be empty and I would like see all of the like things that needed cleaning in the gym and be like, oh yeah. And then I got to email that person back. And so my training actually was kind of, off and on kind of blah when I had the gym, but yeah, so it's different. The location independence part of things is really nice because I can do things like go to the Perform Better Summit and not be, you know, stressed about what's going on at the physical location. And I just really love how many people that we're able to reach through Girls Gone Strong. So I am doing a bit more of the kind of businessy type stuff. But lucky for me, my boyfriend owns a digital media firm and Girls Gone Strong is one of their clients. So he's actually really passionate about Girls Gone Strong and the mission of Girls Gone Strong. So he helps and does a lot of the business stuff. And I get to focus mostly on the content and the vision and the mission, which is really cool. But yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, I'm not coaching people in person all day anymore, but you know, I'm doing everything I can to keep up on all my continuing ed. And I worked out with a friend the other day and got to coach her the whole session, which was awesome. And someone was like, "You're a really good alignment coach." A woman at my gym who I'd never met before was like, "You're a really good alignment coach." That was awesome. But yeah, things are different. I'm just focused on, like I said, growing Girls Gone Strong. We have 350,000 women in over 60 countries in our community. Whoa. Now, which is just crazy. I know, it's bananas. So yeah, I love it. I love what I'm doing. And definitely, like I said, miss the in-person stuff, but do what I can to keep my skills sharp. My boyfriend's always like, "Quit touching me. I don't want to be coached during our session." I'll be like, but okay, fine. Fine. I won't coach you. I won't touch you. I won't make sure that your pelvis is stable during your bird dog. It's fine. So yeah, so it's different in all of those ways, but I love what I'm doing. Love the mission and the direction of GGS and love how fast it's growing.
You guys have like a coalition going on. That's dude, incredible. That's nuts.
It's the coolest. And like, it's the coolest women in the whole world. I'm like, how do the, like, I just feel so lucky that these women are in the community and support what we're doing. It's incredible.
Can I squeeze in one more question?
Of course.
Okay. Let's go in one more question from Denzel, who I don't think I saw at Perform Better in Providence this year. I'm a little bit bummed, man. I don't think you made it out this year. I think you were there the year before. But anyways, how does she combat information spread by the likes of, I'm going to say, I'm not going to use these words, but I will say maybe celebrity trainers and celebrity influencers that seem to make women fear lifting heavy.
Oh, there aren't any of those out there, are there?
Well, I just use it. And I should say, and Sarah Polacco, who commented on this as well over at Achieve, she like just posted something on Instagram. I think she did like, yeah, she did 14 pull-ups, not chin-ups. 14 Whoa. Pull-ups. That's a name. If you're like looking towards the future, remember that name, Sarah Polacco. She is going to be continuing to write and do great stuff in this industry as we go forward. But I digress. I apologize.
That's awesome. You should totally send me her name. That would be super cool.
I will. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we combat misinformation from celebrity trainers and the likes of those types of people? Well, we get 350,000 women from over 60 countries in our community to be ambassadors for our information.
Right.
It starts first and foremost with putting out really high quality content on a regular basis. I mean, we have an incredible advisory board of 10 women who are all experts in something different, and we're consistently putting out information that combats that, but we're doing it in a really body positive and compassionate way. So like I have this article going back to lifting heavy and getting bulky called Does Lifting Heavy Make You Bulky? And I wrote it because, you know, it, for a lot of us in the fitness industry, that feels like a dead horse, but like, obviously it's not, because, you know, we're still hearing that concern on a really regular basis. But it didn't tackle what to me is the most important part of the entire conversation. And that is, what does a woman want for her body? And how does she want her body to look? How is she comfortable, right? Because again, if a woman puts on, like, you know, 3 pounds of muscle, and she's like, oh, like I feel bulky. Well, like that's a legitimate concern. You know, that is also a whole nother conversation in and of itself. In the idea that women are asked to shrink and be less and be smaller, and men are asked to grow and be stronger and be more. But, you know, again, we could talk about that for hours. So first and foremost, we put out really good information, but we also validate where these women are coming from. And in that article, I covered that. You know, I said women get to choose what they want for their bodies. And I showed this kind of wide variety of like shapes and sizes, right? Gwyneth Paltrow, Jessica Alba, Serena Williams, and saying like women get to choose what they want for their bodies. And we think it's amazing that so many women are wanting to choose, you know, strength and to be bigger and stronger. And Jen Sinclair said, I want muscles big enough to smash the patriarchy, which I freaking loved. I thought that was awesome. So we put out this information with a really validating and compassionate spin to it. And then I went and got, 9 women of, I got 3 women who were like 5'1", 5'2", 3 women who were like 5'6", and 3 women who were 5'10", all at different shapes and sizes, who all lift crazy heavy. So in that article, I had Melissa Hartwig, who's co-author of Whole30 and Food Freedom Forever, and she's like 130 pounds or 135 pounds at 5'10", but she can do, you know, 7 pull-ups, and she can smash like a, you know, high 200s deadlift, and she can do all kinds of cool arm balancing stuff. And then I have myself at 5'10", 165 or 170, and I've deadlifted 341 pounds, and I've done 9 pull-ups. And so I showed all of these different women of different shapes and sizes, and showed all of their like numbers and their lifts to say like, hey, lifting heavy doesn't make you look a certain way. Lifting heavy gives you a really kick-ass version of the body that you have. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's not shooting down these claims and just saying, oh, those are stupid. It's saying like, hey, hear where you're coming from, validate the concern, and then provide information and evidence otherwise. And, you know, we're not really in the business of like constantly calling out the crap. I know some people in the industry feel called to do that. And like, if that's their jam, that's totally cool. But for us, we'd rather talk about what we're about than talk about, you know, what, like, then like call out other people or tear down other people. So instead of saying like, oh, this person's so dumb, we just say, hey, look, this is actually the truth. Here's the facts, here's the science, here's the evidence. And put out information that people are really interested in. So yeah, so reaching all of the women in our community who live all over the world and creating ambassadors for the lifting movement. You know, when Girls Gone Strong started, it was in 2011, and we started with the idea of like preaching the gospel of strength training, right? We wanted women all over the world to understand the value of it. And we thought every woman should strength train. And where we're at today with our, you know, empowerment and body autonomy, we're like, hey, women should actually do whatever the hell they want with their bodies. But strength training is a really good option. And we try to make it look so fun and exciting and inclusive that other women want to do it. So yeah, all of those things.
And that's, I love that answer, because it like falls in line with, you know, something that has been somewhat of a mantra of mine, and what I've been trying to express to others is like, you know, the stuff that I would like to see more of, and it's what you guys are doing, is like, be about solutions, not about the problems. I don't need to read, you know, 5 reasons why this person is a terrible person or something like that.
Right.
Or, you know, the 5 worst diets are in the world. No, give me give me some solutions to the problems and don't just like talk about the problems. Make it a little bit more positive and things that are useful.
Yeah,
and instead of wasting your time writing about stuff like, no, yeah, I know. Like, I probably shouldn't get my strength training information from a celebrity trainer that tells me to not lift weights. I know that.
Right. But it's like, yeah, it's easier. It's infinitely easier to be a critic than it is to be a creator. And so if you're going to be a critic, then I hope that you also spend your time creating so that, like you said, you can actually give people, don't do this, but do this instead. Right. I think that's really valuable. And, you know, and, we have articles on the site, like, you know, biggest training mistakes women make and, you know, for fat loss, whatever. But, you know, in those, we are giving them
solutions
to do
right.
instead. Exactly. So the 5 biggest training mistakes women make, here's how to fix them. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause people are interested in that kind of thing. But again, if you're just complaining to complain or just talking about, you know, the negative piece without giving them something to do instead, then you're just kind of adding more negativity to the world, which we don't need, right?
Yeah, and it's like I still poke around. I read T Nation from time to time, and like they had an article yesterday, the absolute worst fitness trends, which was right. just like, and there were coaches that I like, but it's mm-hmm. it's not on them. It's, you know, it's like, okay, here are 10 things that you shouldn't give a crap about. All right, thanks. I just what am I reading this for? But that's what I'm talking about. But holy crap, we've been talking for almost an hour and a half.
Oh my goodness.
So,
well, part of that was just us jamming out though. In the beginning.
I know, but you got we got to do that. We got to catch up and stuff. But other,
we got to sing a little bit.
Jeez, Max, I swear to God, if you're listening to this, I will. I don't. I don't even know. There are no repercussions that would be equal.
Why would Max not listen to this? Were you suggesting there's a slight chance that Max would not want to listen to my FitCast interview and not want to listen to us talking?
I don't know. Max could probably be in the woods for all I know at this point, but you know, I'm sure he is.
You're sure he's in the woods, or you're sure he's listening?
A little bit of both. I mean, he's okay. got battery backups and all that. So before we do wrap up, what are there any events coming up, like, considering that this is going to be coming out in like a week and then people can check it out over the next couple of weeks if they're not a Patreon and stuff like that, things that people should keep an eye out for. You did mention the video releases of the previous summits are going to be coming out.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Of the last 2 years. So 2014 and 15, we don't have 16 ready yet, but that'll be something that we'll add at some point. So yeah, that's going to be available probably October 25th, which is going to be absolutely amazing. People will have access to 22 hours of presentations and hands-on demonstrations from the smartest health and fitness professionals in the world who happen to be women, talking
oh, yeah.
about all women-focused stuff. So that's going to be available coming soon. I'm also busting my tail, finishing up a program for pre- and postnatal women with several of our advisory board experts. So it's for women trying to conceive, women who are pregnant, and then women who are recovering from pregnancy. So that's going to be available in a few months if people want to keep their eyes open for that. And we just launched a couple of private Facebook groups for women in our community. So one of them is called Strong Women Lift Each Other Up. And the other is called Strong Mom Sisterhood. And so those groups are getting going and people are loving it already. You know, they're loving, I think probably the most compelling thing about the event that we sponsored a couple months ago was all of the women saying like, man, this really truly is a community of strong women who lift each mm-hmm. other up, which was just so cool. You know, it's such a positive, uplifting environment of women who like truly want one another to succeed. And, it is as advertised, which is just the coolest.
Love it. You guys are missing out if you're not going over and checking out what they have going on at Girls Gone Strong. And that's, you know, again, I don't care, you know, what you do, who you train, what your interests are. There's going to be information that's not only going to be applicable to women, but absolutely for males as well. So, head over there and even just get started. Go to girlsgonestrong.com/blog and read the ridiculous amount of free content that's on there. and get going with that. And
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles and tons of videos as well. So,
and you owe it to yourselves to pick up those videos. Again, I fought hard for those for like you 2 years for you guys. So go and make me look somewhat like I knew what I was talking about when I said those are going to sell a ton if you,
when you said
make
people
them available.
Want them. And so from my end, thank you, Kevin, for having me on. If you guys are listening and you love what Kevin's doing, because I love what Kevin's doing, you should be a Patreon supporter. I am a Patreon supporter.
That's right.
Because I love Kevin's work, and I'm super interested in supporting good things. So if you like this episode, if you like what he does, make sure that you're supporting his work as well, because, you know, you vote with your dollars and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Aw, that's – I always am – I sometimes don't bring that up because, you know, it's – well, I appreciate that, and especially because, you know, I don't always, like, track the numbers and stuff like that. But, you know, there are people that, you know, drop off the Patreon at times. Like, sometimes, you know, bills come up or,
right.
you know, other expenses come up and people are not able – and sometimes it's like, yeah, your credit card expired and they forget to go back and – you know, resubscribe or whatever, but numbers are down a little bit. So it would be awesome if you've been listening to the show for a while, if you could kind of, you know, go in place of them. And again, you know, you're showing your support by supporting the show with a financial contribution so you can get all 400 plus episodes for free. I understand that, but
400 plus. Wow.
Yeah. So I would appreciate that. And you can, like Molly said, you can do it at a, you know, per episode basis, starting at a dollar. There's some crazy generous people that do $5 and $10 per episode. And I think right now there's about 170 people that do support the show every single episode. So thank you so much to them. And I really do appreciate it. It's what has allowed me to continue to do this show for, you know, more than 10 years. So thank you for that. That's never going to get old, man. That's so long. 10 years.
Long.
All right. Anyways, I'm going to let everyone get out of here. Molly, I'm going to let you get out of here. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and chat. You're always welcome to come on the show. And again, a reminder to people to go check out what they have going on. And I will blast it out as soon as those videos are available. I will let you guys know via every possible
every medium
avenue. Yeah, like, I don't know, I'll send you, like, I'll put some signs up in my local town too.
Yes.
To let people know. But yeah, absolutely go check that stuff out. And Molly, again, thank you for taking the time to come back on.
Thank you for having me, Kevin, and hopefully we'll chat soon.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for this episode of the FitCast. Don't forget to go to fitcast.network to get access to all the shows on the network. You can subscribe on iTunes, submit reviews on there. And as Molly and I both mentioned, if you become a Patreon, not only are you supporting the show to help me continue to do it every single week, but you also get the shows 2 weeks early and ad-free. So thank you so much to everyone that is doing that. And please support our sponsors as well. That is fantastic. And we will see you next time. Take care.